إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, this is our fifth session with the topic A'zam al-Dua, Dua al-Fatiha by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight our topic is going to be a continuation of what we ended with last week, that is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, yani what is this Sirat al-Mustaqim, what is the straight path. Last week we started to talk about this topic, and we got about halfway through it, and we stopped at the hadith which we're going to read tonight. That's what we're going to read from tonight, and we're going to discuss this hadith, the hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. Before we read that hadith and discuss its explanation, we want to quickly look at some of the topics that we talked about last week from the questionnaire study guide number 4. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to just kind of go through the questions and the answers for the benefit of those who were not here, and also for the benefit of those who were here, so they can see if you attempted to answer those questions, how your answers were. So last week, there were 6 questions. The first question was, mention an ayah of Quran which indicates that Allah is Al-Hadi, the one who guides whomever He wills. So, from the ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned, he mentioned 2 ayahs. The first of them is the ayah from Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 25th ayat. Naam. That Allah, He invites generally all of humanity to Dar as Salaam, the abode of peace, that is Al Jannah. وَيَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. But He guides whomever He wills to the straight path, or to a straight path. The other ayah that the Shaykh mentioned was from Surah Al-Fatir, the 35th surah, and the 8th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. يعني, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one whose evil deeds are made fair seeming to him equal to the one who is rightly guided? Indeed, Allah leads astray whomever He wills, and He guides whomever He wills. These 2 ayats, amongst many ayats in the Quran, make it clear that Allah is the only guide, the only one who can guide, and He guides whomever He wills. The second question mentioned the first part of the dua of Al-Qunut, or the dua narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu, related to seeking guidance. Yani in the supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to Al-Hasan, the son of Ali radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. Yani it's a lengthy supplication that is very important that we recite, and the Shaykh just mentioned the first part of it, the saying, Naam. Naam. O Allah, guide me amongst those whom You have guided. Yani, O Allah, guide me amongst those whom You have guided. this supplication is a very important supplication, yani to the end of it. However, the Shaykh mentioned this only to emphasize that even though we are asking Allah for right guidance in every rak'ah of every prayer when we recite Al-Fatiha, that's not sufficient, that we should continually ask Allah for right guidance. And in the hadith that's narrated by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ordered him, commanded him to ask Allah for right guidance. And that hadith, he said, Naam. He said, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda was-sadad. Yani, oh Allah, naam, yes. Oh Allah, grant me right guidance and success, yani, in acting upon it and hitting the mark. The third question was, memorize the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yawm al-Khandaq, the day of the Battle of the Trench, or known as also Ghazwat al-Ahzab, yani, the battle in which the Confederates, the people, they allied the forces of the Arabian Peninsula against the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. In that occasion, it is narrated in the Hadith al-Bara radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was reciting words that also indicate that guidance is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is narrated with slightly different wordings. The Shaykh, the way he narrated, Allahumma law ما أنت ما اهتدينا لولا أنت ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا. That, oh Allah, if it were not for you alone, if it were not for you, then we would not have been guided, and we would not have يعني, given charity, and we would not have performed prayers. And this is a clear indication that guidance is from Allah alone. This is the topic that we were talking about in the first part of the session last week. Question number four mentioned three main sawarif, yani distractions which turn a person away from the straight path. This was the second part of our discussion where the Shaykh mentioned how important it is to seek guidance from Allah. If not for the guidance of Allah, then we all have gone astray in this world. And he mentioned three things that are the main distractions that turn a person away from the straight path. The first of them being a shaitan. And the second one that he mentioned is the third one he mentioned, nafs al-ammar bisu, the inner part of the human being that commands him to do evil. And he mentioned also evil companions. These are three of the most dangerous things that a person has to be careful of if they want to remain upon the straight path. That is, guard yourself from shaitan, and guard yourself from evil companions, and guard yourself from, or protect yourself and seek refuge in Allah from that which is within the human being that calls him to do evil. Question number five, what will be the end of those who deviate from the clear path, al-bayda, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left us upon? And here the Shaykh mentioned a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَّهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ أَنْهَا بَعْدِي إِلَّا هَالِكَ. That indeed, certainly, I have left you upon a clear path, yani as-sirat al-mustaqim, al-Islam. And there's no one who deviates from this path after me, except that he will be destroyed. Yani whoever deviates from the path, the sirat al-mustaqim, al-Islam in the dunya, then in the next life they will also fall off the sirat that will be yani laid across the jahannam. Whoever deviates from this path will deviate on that path, and they will definitely be destroyed. We seek Allah, refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. The last question discussed the example made by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of drawing lines representing different paths, yani as found in the ayat in Surah Al-An'am 6153. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith is narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. It is narrated that he said, yani Jabir, he said that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he drew a line. And then he drew two lines to the right of it and two lines to the left of it. And then he put his hand on the middle line and he said, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. This is the way of Allah. And then he said, and then he recited, yani from the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-An'am, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, to the end of the ayah, yani that indeed this is my straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed this is my straight path, therefore it is incumbent upon you to follow it and do not follow the other paths. And this particular example that the Prophet ﷺ made for his companions of drawing lines was an example to show us that there are many roads, there are many paths, there are many ways that people follow, but only one way is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the middle path. And it is incumbent upon us to know that we don't have any choice in the matter, that we can only go on this path, and any other path, as mentioned in other narrations, every one of them has a shaitan upon it, calling to it. The path of Allah is only one path, and it is the only path that leads to Him, and the only path that will save a person from destruction. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at another hadith that the Shaykh mentions, which is another parable, a mathal, an example, a simile, that the Prophet ﷺ narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And this, yani mathal, is similar to the first one, except that this one, it doesn't necessarily mention the other paths, but rather mentions that there's only one path, and that we have to stay on this path, and we can't deviate from this path, going one way or another. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Naam. So we're going to read this parable, this method that the Prophet ﷺ gave. I'm going to read the narration. And in the book, this hadith came on page 29, near the bottom half of the page, where the Shaykh begins by saying, وَهُنَاكَ أَيْضًا مَثَلٌ آخَرُ عَجِيبٌ ضَرَبَهُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي بَيَانْ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And there's another, after he mentioned the method of the Prophet ﷺ drawing lines, one line in the middle and lines on both sides of it, showing that the path of Allah is only one, in every other way, yani is deviation that leads to destruction. Here the Shaykh mentions another parable that the Prophet ﷺ narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying what is the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the wording that's mentioned here in the book is almost exactly the wording that came from the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. I'm going to read the wording that came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed with just some slight, yani, couple of words maybe, yani same meaning but slightly different wording, because the Shaykh referred to the narration from Imam Ahmed. So this is the narration of Imam Ahmed. It's also reported in the Sunan of An-Nasai and At-Tirmidhi, from the hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, daraba Allahu mathalan siratan mustaqima, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us this example, He has given us an example of a straight way, a straight path. He made a parable, a simile, an example of something in the world, worldly objects, that will give us a picture, yani, of what is Islam, and yani a clarification of the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا وَعَلَى جَنْبَتَي الصِّرَاطِ صُورًا. And on the two sides of this sirat, He gave an example of a straight path, صِرَاط الْمُسْتَقِيمًا. And on the two sides of the sirat are two walls. W-A-L-L-S, walls. Yani walls that, yani normally a person cannot get past a wall, okay? So on both sides of the path there are walls. وَفِيهِمَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ. أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ. And in those walls, those two walls, in each of the walls on each side, there are open doors. Yani in the wall there are open doors. وَعَلَى الْأَبْوَابِ سُتُورٌ مُرْخَاتٌ. And hanging from those open doors are curtains. Yani there's a path, on both sides of it there are walls, and in the walls there are open doors that only have a curtain hanging down from them. وَعَلَى بَابَ الصِّرَاطِ دَاعٍ يَقُولُ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Or as it came in the book, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُدْخُلُوا الصِّرَاطَ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَعْوَجُوا. In our book it said, لَا تَتَعَرَّجُوا. And in another narration it has, لَا تَتَعَوَّجُوا. And all of them have the same meaning. Means don't swerve, don't deviate, don't go from one side to another, but stay on the straight path. At the head of the sirat, at the head of this road, at the beginning of it, there's a da'i, a caller, saying, all people, yani, to the whole of humanity, enter upon this path, all of you, all together. But don't swerve, don't deviate, don't go off from one side or the other. Then he said, وَدَاعٍ يَدْعُو مِنْ جَوْفَ الصِّرَاطِ, and in some of the narrations, مِنْ فَوْقَ الصِّرَاطِ. And then there's another caller that is calling from inside that path, or from above that path. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ يَفْتَحُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَبْوَابِ. So if any one of the people who are traveling this path desired, intended to open any one of those doors that are in the walls, that are on both sides of the path, the caller would say, ويحك لا تفتح فإنك إن تفتح تلجه. Woe to you, don't open it, don't open that door, for indeed if you open it, you will enter it. This is the end of the parable, but the hadith goes on to explain the meaning of those things that are mentioned here. What is the sirat? What are the two walls? What do they represent? Yani, what is the meaning of the open doors that are in those walls and the curtains that are hanging from them and the two callers, one at the beginning of the road, calling all people to enter upon this road, inviting everyone to enter upon this road and warning them not to deviate, going from one side to another, and another caller from within the road or above the road, yani, warning a person if they look like they intend to open one of those doors, don't open it. For indeed, if you open it, you will enter it. You will fall into it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioning these affairs, he said, "Was-siratu al-Islam." Yani, in this simile, in this parable, in this example, the sirat that has walls on both sides of it, the sirat is al-Islam. Was-suran, and the two walls are the hudud of Allah. Wal-abwabu al-mufattahatu. And the open doors are the maharamullah, maharamullah, yani the things that Allah has prohibited. وَذَلِكَ دَاعِي عَلَى رَأْسَ الصِّرَاطِ, and that caller that is at the beginning of the road, at the head of the road, is كِتَابُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, is the book of Allah the Mighty and the Majestic. وَالدَّاعِي مِنْ فَوْقَ الصِّرَاطِ, and the caller that is above the sirat is وَاعِذُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, is the admonisher of Allah, or an admonisher from Allah, that's in the heart of every Muslim. Okay, this mathal, it is the mathal of a sirata mustaqima, straight path. And on both sides of that path are walls. And within those walls there are open doors with curtains hanging down from them. And there are also two callers, one at the head of this path, inviting everyone to enter upon it, and warning them not to deviate, and another caller from within the path or above it, yani, warning anyone who intended to open a door not to open it, for indeed, if you open it, you will enter it. The sirat is Islam. The walls are the hudud of Allah, the boundaries, the limitations of Allah that Allah has set for the human beings. The open doors are the things that Allah has prohibited, that He has made forbidden for us. And the caller at the head of the road is the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Quran. And the other caller, yani, that is above the road, is the admonisher from Allah that's in the heart of every Muslim. This is the wording that came in Imam Ahmad, and there are other wordings that came in Tirmidhi and others, yani, for the sake of time. This hadith, yani, is a Hasan or Sahih hadith. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Sahih in Dhilal al-Jannah fi takhrij al-Sunnah li Ibn Abi Asim rahimahullah. Here, what I want to do now, I'm gonna leave, yani, the comments of the Shaykh on this particular hadith for tonight. I'm gonna leave it, and I'm gonna go to a summary that I made summarizing the commentary of Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, alhamdulillah. Ibn Rajab gave a tremendous explanation of this hadith and this, yani, mathal that is extremely long, yani, maybe 10 or 15 pages. So what I have done is I tried to summarize, yani, the core of what he said on each of these points. What is the sirat? What are the two walls on the sides of the sirat? Yani, what is the meaning of the doors and the curtains hanging down? and about the two callers, the one at the head of the road and the one that is in the yani that is the admonisher of Allah in the heart of every Muslim. So Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he has yani given a tremendous explanation of this hadith, and because it was quite lengthy, I tried to summarize it as best I can in as few words as possible, so that we could get the benefit of it, and then inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in the next session we're going to go to the commentary of the Shaykh on this yani particular point. So Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given this example in this tremendous hadith, which he relates from his Rabb Azza wa Jalla, yani which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the example of Islam being the example of the straight path. Yani Ibn Rajab said, in this narration, the example of Islam, the simile or the parable of Islam, he has made it as a straight path. He gave it in this similar as a straight path, the example of a straight path. That straight path is Islam. And here Ibn Rajab says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named his deen, yani the deen of Islam, a straight path. He has called it a straight path in many places in his book. Yani many places in the Quran, Allah refers to the deen of Islam as a straight path or the straight path. And then he mentions many ayats from the Quran, from amongst them that which we already mentioned, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Yani guide us to and upon the straight path, meaning the path of Islam. And some of the scholars have explained in this ayat that as-sirat in this ayat, it means the book of Allah. In any case, yani the different interpretations that the scholars made, yani all of them are in agreement, they don't differ with one another, but here some of them said it's the book of Allah, because why? Because within the book of Allah there's explanation of the deen of Islam and clarification of the deen of Islam and yani details concerning the deen of Islam and the call, the da'wah to the deen of Islam. So this is why some scholars said here as-sirat al-mustaqim means the book of Allah, yani because it explains the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentioned, from amongst the ayahs that he mentioned, is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 15th and 16th ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ, that there has indeed come from Allah a light and a clear book. And here he's talking about what? He's talking about yani the book of Allah being yani the guidance, yani coming to us through the book of Allah, and it guides to what? Sirat al-Mustaqim. There has indeed come to you from Allah a light and a clear book. يَهْدِ بِهِ اللَّهِ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلِ السَّلَامِ, that Allah guides by this clear light, by this light and this clear book, He guides yani whoever wants to who wants to seek His good pleasure, Allah guides by this light and this clear book, He guides them to سُبُلِ السَّلَامِ, the ways of peace. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ, and He also, through this book, this clear book, He brings people out of darkness into the light by His permission. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and He also guides them to a straight path. And then He mentioned other ayats, like Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 153rd ayat that we mentioned previously, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and we mentioned it last week, yani that indeed this is my straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to His deen, the deen of Islam, as a straight path in many ayats of the Quran. Here Ibn Rajab mentions a different narration of the hadith that we mentioned last week, that's also reported by Imam Ahmed and Nasa'i and others from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The meaning of that hadith is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a line with his hand, and then he drew, and then he said, this is the way, the straight way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he drew a line on the right of it and on the left of it, and he said, hadhihi as-subul, these lines, these ways, these paths, laysa minha sabilun illa alayhi shaytanun yadu ilayhi, that these other paths that are to the right and the left of the way of Allah, that there's no one of them except that it has upon it a shaytan that is calling people to it. And then he mentioned the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, yani that this is my straight path, so follow it and do not follow other paths, for indeed they will cause you to deviate from his path. The Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, and he had a lot of commentary concerning this particular point, but in any case, this is the summary of the most important of what I saw that he said. The second thing he talked about was, why is the deen of Allah, yani, It's called a straight path. Why is this word sirat used? He said, إِنَّمَا سُمِيَ السِّرَاطِ سِرَاطًا لِأَنَّهُ طَرِيقٌ وَاسِعٌ سَحَلٌ يُوصِلُ إِلَى الْمَقْسُودِ. Yani that as-sirat, this word as-sirat, the path, the way. It is given this name sirat because it is a tariq that is wide and spacious, and it is sahal, easy to travel upon, and it leads to the maqsood, the destination. As-sirat, it is called sirat because it is, yani the sirat here, sirat al-mustaqim, the way of Allah, it's called the sirat because it is a easy, vast, wide path that leads to the desired destination, and it leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure and His Jannah. This, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says, is a parable or an example or a simile of the deen of Islam in reference to distinguishing it from the other adyan, the other ways, the other religions. For indeed, Islam, like a path, yani a easy, wide path that leads to its destination, Islam leads to Allah. And it leads to darihi wa jiwarihi ma suhulatihi wa sa'atihi. Yani it leads to Allah, and it leads to the place that Allah has prepared, and it leads to nearness with Him, in addition to it being an easy path to travel and a vast, wide path. Whereas the other turuq, other ways, other deens, even though there are many, all of them are narrow, they are tight, they are difficult, and none of them lead to Allah. Rather, they disconnect you from Allah, and they lead you to the place of His yani displeasure and His anger, and to being with those who are His enemies, yani to the hellfire. Here Ibn Rajab mentions two ayahs from the Quran that I want to mention, at least from what he mentioned. He says here that in this yani a parable, Islam is being mentioned as a way that's distinguished from the other ways. It is a road, a sirat, a tariq, because it leads to the destination, it leads to Allah and the place that He has prepared for those who believe in Him and who obey Him. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, 19th ayat, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that indeed the deen with Allah is only Islam. There's nothing else that's acceptable to Allah. And then he mentions also from Ali Imran, third surah, 85th ayat, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, that whoever desires other than Islam as a deen, then it will never be accepted from him. And that person who desires other than Islam as a deen in the hereafter will be among the losers. Here Ibn Rajab talks about the meaning of Islam in its general sense and the meaning of Islam in its special sense, and it's quite lengthy. I'm not going to mention all of what he said here, but I'll just mention the idea. He mentions that Islam, al-Islam al-Aam, Islam in the general sense, is the deen of Allah, الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ جَمِيعَ الرُّسُولِ, yani it's the deen of Allah that all of the messengers were upon. That is Islam al-Aam, the Islam in the general sense. And then he mentions ayats which show Nuh and Ibrahim and Ya'qub and Yusuf alayhi salam and others, yani that they were all upon Islam. From the ayats he mentioned is Surah to Yunus, 10th surah, 72nd ayat, Surah to Hajj, 22nd surah, 78th ayat, Surah to Baqarah, 2nd surah, 132nd ayat, Surah to Al-A'raf, I think 7th surah, 16th, 17th, 18th ayat, and other ayats that he mentioned, all of them showing that Islam in the general sense was the deen of every prophet and messenger before. And then he says, al-Islam al-Khas, in the special sense, is the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he came with, that which he was missioned with, after which no other way of life is acceptable other than that which he came with. And all other ways of life, all other religions are kufr, due to what they necessitate of following, other than the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and disobedience to Allah and His command to follow Him. So there is no other choice except to submit and to surrender to the commands of Allah and follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to be in disobedience to Allah and oppose His commands. And this requires that, or necessitates that, a person will be obedient to a shaitan, because shaitan is the one who calls people to other ways other than Islam, to the right or to the left, or tries to close the way of people following as-sirat al-mustaqim. After this, The Imam rahimahullah mentions the saying in this hadith, وَعَلَى جَنْبَتَيَ الصِّرَاطِ سُورَانِ, that on both sides of this sirat are two walls, a wall on each side. And then he explains that the meaning of these walls, it means the hudud of Allah, the boundaries set by Allah, the limits set by Allah. والمراد أن الله تعالى حد حدودا ونهى عن تعديها. يعني what is intended here by walls on both sides of the path is that Allah has set limits and He has prohibited that anybody go beyond, outside of those limits. That's the meaning of the walls on each side of the sirat, that Allah has set limits and this is the end on this side of the sirat, don't go beyond this, and this is the end on the other side of the sirat, and don't go beyond this. Allah has set limits and He called these limits hudud, the hudud of Allah. In this parable He called them walls. Here Ibn Rajab and he discusses why the hudud of Allah, the limits of Allah, why they are given in this parable as walls, and that is because he said, since walls prevent a person who is behind that wall from going to the other side of it or going beyond it, so likewise the hudud of Allah, yani they are called walls because they do the same thing, yani they prevent a person from going past the limits that were set by Allah in His hudud. Yani they prevent a person who has entered within those hudud or entered within those walls from going outside of it or going beyond it or transgressing it. And then he mentioned several ayats, yani that show the hudud of Allah, how this is meaning is applicable, that in the same way that a wall prevents a person from going beyond it, then likewise the hudud of Allah, if a person has iman, will prevent a person from going outside of them. So he mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 229th ayat, قال الله تعالى تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها. And these are the boundaries, the limits set by Allah, so don't go beyond them. Yani don't step outside of them. Don't exceed the limits that Allah has set. These are the hudud of Allah, so don't go outside of them. And then he mentions also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th surah, 13th and 14th ayat, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, these are the boundaries of Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. And whoever obeys Allah, yani in reference to these hudud that he has set, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he will be admitted into gardens underneath which rivers flow. Then the Shaykh said, on to the saying of Allah in the same passages, وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger in reference to these hudud and goes beyond his boundaries, he will be admitted into a fire and he will remain in it forever, and there will be for him a humiliating punishment. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned some other ayats from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 229, and Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 1st ayat. All of these ayats showing that Allah has set limits. And then the Shaykh, yani, he gives a lengthy explanation. I'm going to try to summarize it because I realize, yani, the time is upon us. And he basically is saying here that the word hudud, when it came in the Quran, it has two primary applications. Sometimes he said tutlaq, yani kalimat hudud, wa yuradu biha ghaliban ma adina fihi wa abaha. More likely, the meaning of hudud when it's used in the Quran means what Allah has permitted, what He has allowed, things that He has allowed. So this means that He has allowed you these things within certain limits, don't go outside of what He has allowed. So whoever goes outside of that, then they have gone outside of what Allah has allowed, that means they have gone into that which is haram. For this reason, we have been prohibited from going beyond the hudud of Allah, meaning what He has allowed, because going outside of it means the person falls into haram. The second application of hudud, يُرَادُ بِهَا تَارَةً مَا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ وَنَهَا عَنْهُ, that sometimes Allah used the word hudud in reference to the thing that He has actually prohibited and what He has forbidden people to do. In this meaning, Allah uses hudud telling us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا حُدُودَ اللَّهُ, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا حُدُودَ, don't go near to the hudud of Allah. And this is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 187th ayat, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهُ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا, These are the hudud of Allah, the boundaries set by Allah. Don't go near them. This is a different meaning of hudud than the first meaning. The first meaning is, yani what he has allowed. Don't go outside of what he has allowed, into that which is haram. The second meaning, hudud here, means what Allah has prohibited. Don't go into it, what Allah has prohibited. Yani these are hudud of Allah. Don't even go, not don't just engage in that, don't even go near them. And this is, yani the Shaykh, he says here, this was after the mention of the prohibition of using those things that invalidate a person's fast during the daytime when they are fasting, or yani having relations with one's spouse while the person is in i'tikaf in the masajid. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited a person from doing that, and he said these are the limits of Allah. Don't even go near to those things that he has prohibited. So here the meaning of hudud, the second meaning is what Allah has prohibited. And then he says in reference to those things, don't go near them. In the first meaning he says, yani what he has allowed, don't go outside of them. In this meaning, yani what he has prohibited, he said, don't go near them. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made limits for everything. He has made limits for that which is permissible. And he has made limits for that which is haram. And he has commanded us to limit ourselves to the boundaries of what he has allowed and don't go beyond that. And he has prohibited us from going near the limits of what he has declared to be forbidden. After this, the Shaykh, he talks about the next part of this simile, or this parable, or this example. That is, the open doors with curtains hanging from them that are in the walls, yani that are in the hudud of Allah. Yani the hudud of Allah, the boundaries that Allah has set, person traveling upon this sirat, straight path, has to observe these boundaries, yani that Allah has set up the hudud. But within those walls, there are open doors. Abwabun mufattahatun. Wa'ala al-abwab suturun murkhatun. Yani within those boundaries that you're not supposed to go across, there are open doors in the walls that have curtains hanging from them. And he has explained in this hadith that the meaning of those open doors, they are the maharim Allah. Yani the things that Allah has prohibited, he has made haram. So, since Allah, yani in this parable, yani that the Prophet ﷺ narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he says, since he has compared or made a resemblance between the hudud of Allah and two walls that surround on both sides, on the right and the left, the straight path. And walls indicate al-man', that something that you are prohibited or prevented from something. Because the original meaning, and likewise the original meaning of al-had, yani hudud, in the linguistic meaning, it also means al-man'. So walls prohibit a person or prevent a person from doing something, and likewise the hudud of Allah has the same meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he made a simile or a comparison between the hudud, the limits of Allah, as walls that are on both sides of the path, then he also made yani a comparison between the things that Allah has prohibited as being open doors in those walls which are on both sides of the straight path. And he has made those open doors in such a way that he said they are not locked, nor are they closed. Rather, they just have curtains hanging from them, such that every person has the ability to lift up that curtain and to enter through those doors. Yani the walls are the limits, the boundaries that Allah set, don't go beyond them. But there are within those walls opportunities, doors that are open, that merely have a curtain that anybody can open, lift up that curtain and go into that door. But those are the things that Allah has prohibited. So those are temptations. After Allah has set the boundaries, there are temptations in this life that a person easily could engage in if they didn't have taqwa, if they didn't have iman. So the Shaykh, he says, these doors, these open doors with curtains hanging down from them that are not locked, that are not closed, that simply have curtains hanging from them, represent the ease with which a person can enter into that which is haram. And he said, this is like the shahawat al-muharrama, yani the prohibited desires that people have to engage in illegal sexual relations, to engage in alcohol and intoxicants, to engage in gambling and other things that Allah has prohibited. Yani these things are easy for the person to enter into. He said, the nufus, yani the nafs of the human being, is eagerly waiting, looking, gazing, staring at these things, and is able to enter upon them, is able to engage in them. And the only thing that prevents a person from engaging in those things, from going through those doors, from lifting that curtain and entering, is al-Iman. He said, indeed, the nafs, the human being's nafs, is set, dead set, crazy about, enthusiastic about becoming acquainted with and getting to know those things that it has been prohibited from. We know that the human being, when they are told you can't do something, the more they want to do it. When they are told don't look over there, the more they want to look over there. If you tell children, but not only children, adults too, yani you can't have this, then they want to know why. What is it? Let me try it. Didn't yani our father Adam and Hawa, our mother, when they were in the garden, told don't take from this tree. Yani the thing that you are prohibited from, even though you have everything else available, more than what you need, but because you are prohibited from that, the soul of the human being is inclined to look at that thing, to go after it, and to seek it. In the hadith, the Sahih, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, in the narration of Muslim, حُفَّتَ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِي وَحُفَّتَ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. And in the narration of Bukhari, حُجِبَتْ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِي وَحُجِبَتَ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Yani that the Jannah is enclosed, is surrounded, is covered by dislike, distasteful things, makari, things that you dislike. Yani, like getting up for Fajr in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, or fasting from morning until night in Ramadan. Things that the nafs does not enjoy. Yani, until they reach a certain stage by the permission of Allah that they enjoy the worship and obedience to Allah. But the normal human being doesn't enjoy these things. So the Jannah is surrounded by these things that you dislike. The only way you will enter Jannah is by you, yani obeying Allah's commands and engaging in those things. And likewise, the hellfire is surrounded by shahawat, desirous things, things that people like. They like to engage in that which, yani those pleasures that Allah has forbidden, and whoever engages in them will enter into the hellfire. Then the Shaykh, he gives yani a good explanation, but yani time is short. So the summary of what he said after this, he said the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested the human being in this world with these prohibited things, whether they are shahawat, desires, or shubuhat, doubtful matters. And he has made within the human being something that calls him to have love for these things while he has the ability to engage in them. So whoever, فَمَنْ أَدَّى الْأَمَانَةِ, who fulfills the trust, وَحَفِظَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, and guards and preserves the limits of Allah, وَمَنَعَ نَفْسَهُ مَا يُحِبُّهُ مِنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ, and he restrains and restricts and prevents himself from that, from the things that the nafs loves and desires, but Allah has prohibited it. Whoever does this, then the end will be al-Jannah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Naziah, 79th Surah, 40th Ayat, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. That indeed, as far as the one who fears the standing before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that is the explanation that most of the scholars of tafsir gave for maqam Rabbi. Whoever fears this, and therefore they prohibit their nafs from its desires, then the Jannah will be that person's destination. So for this reason, every person is in need in this world of al-mujahada al-azima, yani making a tremendous effort, striving against itself. Yujahid nafsahu fillahi azza wa jalla, as it came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's sahih, reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, and others. The hadith of Fadala ibn Ubayd radiallahu anhu, he said, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fillahi. Yani the mujahid is the one who strives. Yujahid, yani nafs, jahada nafsahu, who strives against himself for the sake of Allah, and he strives to resist his desires, to restrain himself from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with, Allah has prohibited. Yani, a human being needs in this world, yani, to make that tremendous effort to strive against its own self, so that to resist the desires and to remain within the bounds of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. This is not the end of what he said, but I'll make this as our last point. He says, yani, Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he says, and when he talks about the last point of this simile or this parable or this example, yani of the path which is Islam and the walls which are the limits that Allah has set and the doors which are the temptations that open to the maharam, the things that Allah has prohibited, within the human being, the nafs and the hawa is calling him to engage in these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being two things to counteract them. Yani two da'i, two callers. One of them is at the head of this path, calling the human being to enter upon this path and to stay upon the path and to not deviate from it. And the other one is warning the human being whenever he's tempted to open one of those doors to engage in that which is haram, yani to resist it and not to open that door, do not go in. He says here that what is intended by these things, yani, is that since the nafs and the hawa is calling the person to open those prohibited doors and to remove those curtains and to engage in that which is haram, then Allah has made two callers to warn the one who wants to engage in the haram and to lift up those curtains to the haram. He has given two warnings, yani. One of them is the Quran. And this is mentioned in this parable as the da'i ala ra's as-sirat, calling all the people, all of them, to enter into this path and to remain straight upon this path and to not go to the right of it and don't open any of those doors to that which is haram that only have curtains over them. And then, yani, the Shaykh mentions some ayats. And, you know, because of the time, right? One of those ayats that he mentioned concerning this, yani, that the caller that's at the head of this road is the Quran, calling people to enter into Islam and calling people to stay focused on the path, to be straight and not to deviate, not to go, yani, to swerve from one side or another. He says the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, حَكِيًا عَنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which he narrates or mentions the saying of his believing worshippers, that they said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Yani, that the believing worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're saying, our Lord, indeed, we have heard a munadi, yani a caller, calling to Iman, that we believe in our Rabb, therefore we believed. Yani, that caller, he said that most of the scholars of tafsir from the Salaf, they said the caller is the Quran. And then he narrates, yani, the saying of the jinn, those who had heard the Quran, and when they went back to their people, they said, Inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa musaddiqan bima bayna yadayhi yahdi ila al-haqqi wa ila tariqin mustaqimin. He said that the jinn, when they went back to the people after they heard the Quran, yani the da'i, the caller of people to enter Islam, they said, we have heard a book that has been sent down after Musa alayhi salam, and it is confirming that which came before it, and it guides to the truth, and it guides to a straight path. And then he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was described by Allah as being one who calls all of the creation to the book. And he calls all of the creation to the straight path by this book that is the Quran. And he mentions here the saying in Surah to Ibrahim, 14th Surah, first ayat, Kitabun, yani that the book is the caller. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrija an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur bi-idhni rabbihim ila siratil azizil hamid. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a book which we have sent down to you in order to bring the people out of darkness into the light, by the permission of your Rabb, and to guide them to the path of Al-Aziz Al-Hamid, the Mighty, the Praiseworthy, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also, yani, one who called the people to enter Islam by the Quran, and those people, the first people who accepted Islam, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst the Muhajirin and the Ansar, they came to Islam through his calling them by the Quran. And this is the meaning of what Imam Malik rahimahullah said, Futihat al-Madina bil-Quran, yani that Medina was conquered, it was opened by the Quran. That is, its people entered Islam by hearing the Quran. And even before the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, he had sent or missioned Mus'ab ibn Umayr rahimahullah, yani, and he sent him to Medina to call the people to Islam. And what he called the people to Islam by reciting upon them the Quran, and many of those people accepted Islam. The last point that I want to make, I'm going to stop here, is the second caller that is, yani, mentioned in this parable, is the caller that is, yani, fi jawf as-sirat, or fawq as-sirat, min jawf as-sirat, or min fawq as-sirat. And that caller, in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is the wa'idullah, the admonisher from Allah that is in the heart, fi qalbi kulli Muslim. Here I want to just quote quickly from Mushkil al-Athar, yani al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah says concerning this particular point. He says that we reflected upon this hadith and we found that every part of it, its meaning was clear to us. Other than the meaning of what is the wa'id Allah fi qalbi kulli Muslim. What is this admonisher from Allah in the heart of every Muslim? And we were in need to come across, yani to come to an understanding of what is the reality of the meaning of this wa'id Allah fi qalbi kulli Muslim. What is it? So we looked and we found that the wa'id, the admonisher from amongst the human beings is the one who prohibits people from falling into that which Allah has prohibited them from. The wa'id, the admonisher, the warner from amongst the human beings is the one who prohibits the people from falling into that which Allah made haram. So we understood from this that the likeness of it, أَنَّ مِثْلَهُ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُسْلِمِ هِيَ حُجَجُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَلَّتِي تَنْهَاهُ عَنْ الدُّخُولِ فِيمَا مَنَعَهُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَحَضَرَهُ عَلَيْهِ. Yani, we understood from this then that the likeness of, just like the human being warns people from that which Allah has prohibited, so likewise there's something like this that's in the heart of every Muslim, and it is the hujjaj, the clear, decisive proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the believer that prohibit him from entering into that which Allah has prohibited him from and warned him from. وَإِنَّهَا هِيَ وَعِذَ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِنَ الْبَصَائِرِ أَلَّتِي جَعَلَهَا فِيهِ. And likewise also, the wa'idh Allah that's in the heart of every Muslim are those insights, those things, the ability to look at things and to see them, yani the mental ability, mental perception to be able to see things for what they are that Allah has given to the human being. وَالْعُلُومَ الَّتِي أَوْدَعَهُ إِيَّاهَا. And also all of the different types of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted or given or deposited with the human being. This knowledge and this ability, this insight and these clear, decisive, conclusive proofs, these things are also within the human being, that which, and he acts just like the human being, another human being who warns a person from that which Allah has prohibited. So within the human being, within his heart, there's that which also, yani, prohibits him. Yani, these things also prohibit the human being and warn him and restrain him and restrict him in the same way that the human admonisher or human warner warns him. These things also warn him from engaging in that which Allah has prohibited. The last thing that the Shaykh mentions, and perhaps we're going to talk about it next week, is that this sirat that's mentioned in this parable, it is not a physical sirat, but it's the guidance of Allah, the deen of Allah, Islam, that a person has to walk upon in order to reach the destination of, yani, in the next life, the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. He said, and just like there's a sirat in this world that's not physical, there's a sirat in the next life, yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that will be placed above the hellfire, and people will have to cross over that sirat. He said that whoever walked carefully upon the sirat in this world, that is observing Islam, they will be able to cross over that sirat, over the hellfire, into, yani, safely entering the Jannah. And whoever deviated on the sirat in this world, then they will fall off that path into the hellfire in the next life. This is what we're going to talk about next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Yani, this final point and whatever else the Shaykh has mentioned. We're going to stop here with this. If anybody has a question about anything that we said, is it time for the adhan? Sure. It's time for the adhan? Okay, so if we have a few minutes, so we can take a few questions. Is there any question? Anything that we said that's not clear?
Can we say the second call is your conscience or no?
Yani, it's related. A person has a conscience. There's no doubt about it, right? I mean, the conscience is what? Our conscience is something in our mind, yani, that is a reminder to us of what is right and what is wrong. But it's more than that. The warner that's within the heart of every Muslim is not only if you have a conscience, yani, you have a consciousness, yani, taqwa, piety, consciousness of Allah, but also you also have knowledge, you have information, yani, you have knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, and you have proofs and evidences that show you that this is the right way, that prove to you that doing something else is going to, yani, lead to harm and detriment. Now, and therefore you also, now, you're going to be tested by the open doors that only have curtains along the way in the wall, that a person will be tested with these things that Allah has prohibited. So therefore, if a person has iman and they know right from wrong, a person has to have knowledge of Islam. We have to have knowledge of the laws of Allah. We have to have knowledge of the sunnah in order to know what's right and what's wrong and the benefits of following the right way and the harms of going the wrong way. We have to know these things in order for us to have the ability to resist those temptations that the nafs is naturally inclined towards and would love to enter into, if not for the person's iman and taqwa and the knowledge that they have, the uloom and the basair, the ability to have insight to see things, not just eyesight that you see with your eyes, but insight that is mental perception that a person is also able to utilize in order to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, and what is beneficial and what is harmful. Naam, wallahu a'lam. Naam. Naam. The shaitan is sitting on every other path other than this middle path. The one path that's the path of Allah. Every other way to the right or to the left. Any deviation from that, from the straight path, is going to be a path that has the shaitan sitting on it, calling people to it.
So the idea of curtains goes back to kind of preventing ourselves, not just from going to those doors, but even putting ourselves around haram. Like, don't even look at it, because once you see it, your heart's going to be attached to it.
Now, the curtain is there just to, once you see it, then you're going to be attracted to it, right? So the curtain is blocking the way from seeing it, but it's not blocking you from entering. Because it's easy to get in, right? But at least if you don't see it, you may be protected from it. So a person has to then, be careful that they don't even go near, as you said, don't go near that which is haram. Don't go near the hudud of Allah. Because if a person goes near it, then they're subject to fall into it. They're subject to lift the curtain and see it. And if they see it, then they're going to enter into it. Well, may Allah save us from this. Now, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.